How many of you have ever said something you immediately wish you could take back? Anybody? Of course, yeah, you don't have to point at anybody. You know what I'm talking about, the moment that you kind of blurted out that hurtful comment, or maybe it was that time that you shared that juicy little piece of gossip that you've been holding on, or maybe it was that time that you got super angry and you let a sharp word fly, you know. If you're like me, I mean, that happens quite often in my life. But of course, I'm super hard on myself, and I'll go back and I'll parse every word that I say. But whenever these things happen, I mean, regret just washes over me. And I think we've all been there, haven't we? Contrary to what you learned in grade school, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not entirely true. You know, words just aren't floating out on the air. Words carry weight. Words have power. And as I began to consider this, I decided that we was going to do a sermon series about the words that we use. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to dive deep into what the Bible has to say about the speech we use and how we talk to other people and the incredible influence of our speech. And there's one verse that I've kind of anchored everything to, and it's in Proverbs 18:21. Yeah, I've got it here on the screen. It says, the tongue, and of course, whenever and anytime we use that euphemism, the tongue, in Scripture, it's talking about our mouth or the words we use. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. That's the key verse that we'll be using for this series. And it hopefully it will remind you, as I mean, every week we'll probably look at it, because it should remind us of the profound impact that our words have. Did you know that nearly every single day you speak about 16,000 words in a day? 16,000 words. That's 16,000 opportunities that you have to either destroy someone or build them up. That's a lot of opportunities. And the Bible says unequivocally that we will be held accountable for every careless word we speak. That means you should be very, very careful about how you talk. You should be very careful about the words you use. And so for week one here, that's going to be our focus. We're going to explore this foundational truth that our words actually reveal the condition of our hearts. And so we're going to see, by looking at Jesus' words in the book of Luke, we're going to see that whatever comes out of our mouths is a direct reflection of what's truly going on inside us. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and Jesus is going to give us a profound teaching here. Here's what he says. And by the way, it's just not in Luke 6. I'm choosing to use the passage out of Luke 6 because we've been in Matthew for so long. I thought maybe you guys might like a little change for a while. But he also says these words of Matthew as well. He says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Of course, Jesus isn't just talking about horticulture here. He's using an analogy to illustrate this teaching. And it doesn't even take a horticulturist to understand the dynamic that he's talking about here. Good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce no fruit or bad fruit. And that word that he uses for bad there, if you go back and you look at the original translation of that word, it means actually something really more than bad. It really means kind of rotten, or a fruit that's decaying. It's not just bad. It's like this thing is thoroughly bad. But Jesus isn't just giving us a lecture on fruit. He wants us to know something important about the way we speak. So just like the quality of fruit is determined by the quality of tree, the words you speak reveals your character. That's number one, if you're taking notes there. It's that your words reveal your character. Jesus is showing that what is in your heart will come out in your speech. He's showing that your words aren't necessarily random. They're actually revealing. They reveal something about what's going on inside you. And so the words that you speak, careless, those words that you just kind of fall out of your mouth, those things are the output of whatever you've been storing in the treasury of your heart. It reveals what's deep within your soul. And this has really been a key component of all Jesus' teachings. He'll teach about this over and over again, that what's on the inside determines what comes out. And he went at great lengths to talk about how he would talk to the Pharisees and say, you guys worry about how you wash your hands before you eat. And he says, because you think that somehow what's on the outside is going to corrupt what's on the inside. That's not the way it works. It's the reverse. What's on your inside comes out. And so whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Now, I want you to think about this in terms of your own depravity. Every single one of us in here is a sinner. We are sinners by nature. And if we don't do something about our sin, it will eventually, that sin will reveal itself in the way we speak. So there's a direct connection between your heart and your mouth. And I want to show you two verses where it kind of comes out here. First one's in Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Your heart is the most deceitful thing in your body. It is, he says it's desperately wicked. Okay? So we have a deceitful heart, a wicked heart here. And then in Proverbs 15:4, it says this, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So you see here, we got two things, two components. The heart's deceitful, and it produces, ultimately, it produces a deceitful tongue. And believe me, you can try to cover it up, and you can try to parse your words. But what really happens is you can't fake a godly heart for a long time. Eventually, your words are going to reveal what's truly going on the inside. So I want you to consider this week. What if somebody walked around beside you every day this past week with a little voice recorder, and they recorded every single word you spoke this week? And what if they took it and they set you down and they played it back for you? How would you feel about that? Are you confident that you've spoken good words? I mean, how would you feel about the words that you spoke this past week? What would they say about your heart? Would those words that are played back to you, would they reveal you as a good tree or a bad tree? What fruit is being produced in your life? Are you producing bitterness, or are you producing blessings to other people? Look back at Proverbs 18:21 again. It says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And so that's my second point. The words that we speak carry an eternal weight. You know, Jesus connects our words to our heart's condition. We've already seen that. And other scriptures throughout the Bible, they underscore the immense power that your words have. And it talks about the lasting impact that your words will have on other people. And so it's not just about what comes out of our hearts. It's also about the consequences of what comes out. It says that very, very powerful words. It says that life and death are the power of the tongue. That your words can have a lasting impact on someone else's life. Think about the kindness that you show other people and how you speak to them. Think about the difference that an encouraging word to someone else can make. I promise you, there are times that I've just felt that big, you know, and one of you has come by and said something encouraging to me, and it, although I might not have told you at the time, it makes all the difference to the world. It really does. And just want you to consider the words that you use. So your words can either be a blessing to someone else, or they can be serve to be somewhat of a catalyst for bitterness. I mean, words can be devastating to people. Think about the devastation that can come into someone else's life when you say something cruel or something cutting to another person. I mean, this isn't just hyperbole. This is a reality in our life. That you, all it takes is for you to say one negative thing to another person and you can completely destroy their self-esteem. Because people take what you've said, and because of the human brain, we have the capacity, and what we'll do is we'll sit there and replay those words over and over and over again. And what's typical of a human being is we dwell more on the negative than we do on the positive. It's been my experience that it will take four or five encouraging words to repair the damage that one cruel, cutting word will do. If you have your Bibles, turn over to James 3 real quick. I want you to see something else. Here's what he says. James writes, "Indeed, we all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And in the same way, the tongue is a small thing and it that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. You see just how dangerous your tongues can be." He says it's a fire. He says that it's a restless evil. He says that it is full of deadly poison. It can corrupt. It can bring corruption into life. Think for just a second. What if I took you up to the water tower here in Purdy? And I gave you a feather pillow. And I took a knife and I slit that feather pillow and you shook it out and feathers went all over the place. Now, consider, what if I told you, now you need to climb down and go grab every feather that got loose? Could you do that? I mean, that's an impossibility, right? But our words are just like those feathers. You see, once they leave our lips, or once you type them, it's not always speech, right? Once you type them, once you press that send button, Apple's tried to fix it, right? Google's tried to fix it where you can take it back, but once you hit that send button, right? Once you post that diatribe on Facebook, there's no way to take those things back. We have seen over the last couple of years just the damage you can do by posting on the internet. You think that, oh, I posted it, I'm going to go back and delete it. But that's not why it works. I've seen people delete things within 5-10 seconds, but somebody somewhere took a screen grab of it and then posted it later. Students, teenagers, let me just share something with you. The things that you put on the internet, be very careful, because you might be 23 years old and going in for a job interview And they may pull something out that you posted on Twitter when you was 15 or 16, or some picture that you put on Facebook. You see, words have consequences. You see, when you do that, when you speak that, when you type that, those words go out and they kind of land wherever they may. They have an impact, sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. But you'll never, that verse there in Proverbs tells us that you're never going to be able to fully control or undo what your careless words do, the impact that they have. If you go back in Matthew, you know, Jesus actually gives a stark warning about the words we speak. In Matthew 12, he says, "You will give an account on judgment day for every careless word." I think I'm going to be there for quite some time. I think he's going to pull out a list and he's going to say, why don't you have a seat? We're going to be here for a while. You know, and in 2 Corinthians, Paul actually says that you're going to be judged for the things you do in this life. It says, 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." You notice that's not just your actions, that's your words too. And so be very, very careful. Be sure that the words you speak are words that build others up. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." So stop and think. Think before you text. Think before you post. Think before you speak. And filter it through these questions. Is what I'm getting ready to put out, is what I'm getting ready to say, is it true? Is it kind? Is it beneficial? Is it helpful to someone else? If it's not, don't put it out. Sometimes it may be true, but it may not be beneficial, right? But sometimes we want people to think that we're like superior intellectually. We want people to know how we stand on this topic. But is it still beneficial? Is it going to build the body of Christ up, or is it going to create division? I can't tell you the number of times that I've seen something on social media and I've asked the question, was it really necessary that you put that out there? Well, I want people to know where I stand. Okay, but did it build anything up? Or did you just serve to show everybody how stupid you really are, or how ignorant you really are, or how boneheaded you really are? Pause. You know, now that you know where the problem originates from, right? It originates in your heart. That's where those words come from. That's where the solution has to begin as well. And so true, if you're number three on your study guide, true transformation has to begin in your heart. Luke 6:45, it says, go back and read it. "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of a evil heart." What you say flows from what's in your heart. You know, change isn't going to begin by you just watching what you say. Eventually, it's going to come out. Change has to happen in your heart. I mean, think back. Just look back. Put James 3:2 back up there. Here's what James says. "If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect." It's humanly impossible to control your tongue without a change of your heart. If you think that I can begin to kind of correct the way I speak and I'm going to speak positive, encouraging words just out of sheer will, you might be able to do that for a little bit, but eventually your heart will win the day. The good news is that a change of heart is possible. Ezekiel 36 says, I'll give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your old stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. You see, that's what happens when you come to faith in Christ. He gives you a new heart. You become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. You no longer have to be held hostage by a sinful, deceitful heart. You have, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have within you a brand new spirit. You have within you everything you need, the power that makes it possible to change the place where your words originate. So let me give you just three practical steps real quick, how to change this heart-speech alignment. And number one is, fill your heart with God's Word. Psalm 119 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your Word. I have hidden your Word in my heart. That's what you have to do. Because when you hide God's Word in your heart, it's kind of that whatever goes in has to come out. So if you're hiding God's Word in, what will eventually come out are good, encouraging blessings to another person. So number one, begin filling your life with God's Word. The second thing, though, is that I think we would all do good for this, is begin to practice the pause. And what I mean by that is that before speaking, push the pause button. James 1:19 actually says, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to speak means that, I mean, I'm always ready to hear, but before I speak, I'm going to push the pause button. And I'm going to ask the question, is what I'm getting ready to say, is it going to tear somebody down? Is it going to destroy something? Is it going to create divisiveness? Or is it actually going to build this other person up? Is it actually going to reveal how I feel with love? And the third thing that we would probably be well to do is we probably need to start on this path of confessing and repenting when we speak words that are wrong. When your words, when you know, hey, you know when you hurt someone else with your words. And when you do, own it. Make it right. One of the most difficult things you'll ever have to do is go back to that person and say, you know, it's occurred to me that what I've said to you has hurt you. And I need to apologize for that. Don't make excuses for it. Don't cover it up. Don't shift the blame or, you know, the way you took hurt it. You heard it wrong. Own it. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. So you see, you know, we've just went through all of this. I'll go into it deeper in the coming weeks. But you can see that the words you speak are kind of a spiritual mirror to the condition of your heart. And the words you speak carry an eternal weight. You can absolutely change the course of another person's path by the words you speak. And I think there's nobody that knows this in here more than a teacher. You teachers could probably come up and preach this sermon. You know what your words, how your words can set a student on a path of success or devastation. And that's the reason why your teachers, you can think back, we all had that teacher that encouraged us, didn't we? We all had that teacher that saw something in us and said something encouraging to us and made it possible for us to actually complete the third grade. Your words carry weight. But if your words this morning, if you've went back and you've thought about everything you said this past week, and if it's occurred to you that your words are really kind of condemning you, there's hope. Those same words that condemn you, words can also bring you life. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Speech can devastate, but speech can also bring you eternal life by declaring that Jesus is Lord. And get this, every word that you've ever spoken in your life, every negative word, every word that you now regret, that you're sitting here thinking, oh yeah, I remember that. Every single one of those words Jesus died for. And this morning, he offers to give you a new heart through faith in him. So if you're an unbeliever in here this morning, maybe you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I would invite you this morning, confess your sin. Trust Christ for salvation today. Let him come into your life, change your heart, and by extension, he will change your words. I often reminded of people who are really rude and crass and with very vulgar language, and how once they come to Christ, people talk about how their speech is entirely different, and the way that they speak to other people is entirely different. I'm sure you've noticed that dynamic. That's a living example of what Christ does to us. He changes everything about us. And if you're a believer here this morning, if you've already made the decision to follow Jesus, what you should begin to speak as if every single word matters. Because it does. I challenge you. Why not take this 24-hour challenge, right? Audit the words you've said for the last 24 hours, okay? Consider the words you've just spoken in the last day. Now, moving forward, can you commit to purity in speech? Should you? Of course you should, if you're a believer. And I'm talking about no gossip, no harsh words, no unkind words, no hateful words. And this is going to be difficult for everybody. No complaining. You know, I think there's times that you're at Walmart and the line's taking too long or whatever, and you utter words under your breath. You realize people around you could probably hear you. And all you're doing is complaining. But those are negative words that are going out. If you're a believer, the only thing that should be coming out of our mouth are words that are encouraging and full of love. Am I right? So, let me just state this morning. I know that I've blown it. Hey, this is something that I think the reason I'm doing this particular sermon series is because I struggle with this so much. I'm the king of sarcasm. It's really not the posture that a believer should take. And I've been working on it. And I would encourage you and challenge you to do the same. Do the words that you speak every day, do they build up or tear down? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this new heart that we have. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of every careless word I've ever spoken. And Father, if I've harmed somebody by the words that I've spoken, I pray that I would have the opportunity, that you would make that known, and I'd have the opportunity to make that right. So Father, forgive us of our careless words. And I pray that you would transform our hearts by your Spirit. And I pray that every word that we speak builds others up and glorifies you. To the praise and glory of your Son is what we pray.